Falcons fans, welcome in. It is another edition of the FalconCast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com or iTunes or wherever you're hearing us. Don't adjust anything. We are not in video anymore. You will not see our faces.
How disappointing are the people right now? They're disappointed.
Close. Video of the week is gone. We are going traditional podcast, old school from here on out. And I think it's going to make it more fun. You get a camera in front of a bunch of guys like us, and we get all
up
stiff.
And
now you get to see the real us, just without the cursing, probably.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not.
We'll see.
Jay Adams here. To my left is DJ Shockley.
I am here,
as
yes.
always. John Michaels cannot join us today. He will be back hopefully next week, but sitting in. Break with Bosek's very own Brian Bosek is going to be joining us as our third man today.
Ooh, baby.
Big day.
You got called up to the major leagues today, and you're pulling double duty here. You got buttons and switches and all that kind
of
stuff.
Lots
and
of wires.
You got to talk about football.
I'll talk about a little about tennis maybe. That's what DJ told me football was. So
that's what I thought it was, man. I mean, never
I was
played
like, what's
this
football?
Game before.
He goes, oh, it's a thing with a green ball and a racket.
Jesus.
Hey, man, you know. Sometimes it's like that, sometimes.
Don't be getting him.
No, I could talk some football.
You like tennis
we're
like
gonna,
that,
we're
gonna
more from a fan's out. Perspective, though.
Yeah.
We're going to test you out because the people who listen to this FalconCast, they love their football.
Uh-oh.
They know
so
their stuff.
If you say something that's wrong, they're going to get after you.
Because Twitter's been pretty hot. Last couple weeks.
Falcons Twitter is
has been a field of fire. I know me and Jay were going back and forth with a guy that I had to just kind of stop because he was starting to, you know.
What was that one about?
He was getting on to us because it was the week we were talking about Roddy.
Okay.
And remember, he said that we didn't say anything good about Roddy and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. No.
None of us were like Falcons.
He was saying you guys are homers and you guys should try to be more objective. And all I can think of is like, dude, do you know who signs my paycheck? Right. I mean, let's be honest here, guys. It's the FalconCast podcast on AtlantaFalcons.com. The three people who are speaking to you are receiving paychecks from the Atlanta Falcons. Look, we're going to be as honest as possible, but there's no way that we're going to sit here and trash anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody had a bad performance or did something silly or whatever, we will talk about that and we will analyze it, but we're not going to sit here and say, Paul Warlow is trash and blah, blah, blah. Just like, you know, if you want that, there are plenty of other outlets that you can listen to. You won't get that here. Nothing but positivity, kittens, unicorn stickers, MySpace.com. We are all about the positive stuff here.
We will definitely keep it 100. We will definitely. Like we said, if there's something going on, that guy dropped a pass, we'll say he needs to do a better job. We're not going to be the ones that's going to say this guy is completely terrible. Why is he has a uniform on? That's not going
to
be us.
But we also present a different side here, too, because if you listen to a lot of sports radio here in Atlanta, you know, a lot of these guys have been around for so long, they're automatically slanted towards the negative side. I mean, let's be real. Atlanta sports hasn't exactly been a title city.
Right.
So, you know, you've got a lot of guys who have been around for a long time and just kind of used to the old humdrum, mediocre kind of stuff from teams in the city. And, you know, we're just not like that. We take a much different view.
And it's not productive either.
It's not productive. Trash. Thank you.
We like to be productive here. Yeah. So.
Thank you. So that's why.
Still positive. People up, man.
That's why we do what we do and say what we say and all of that stuff. But I think you can get some pretty good stuff.
I think the guy who said it, though, he hadn't even looked at the podcast
yet.
He didn't even look at it.
And he was like, what? Look at you guys' faces. And like, you guys don't look like yourself. I was like, come on, man. You got to watch the podcast first. Listen to us.
Yeah.
And you will understand. So
he didn't even bother to watch it. And he was already throwing stones at the glass house.
We got thick skin, so it's all right.
It's all right. So, you know, we decided, look, the FalconCast needs a little bit of a refresh. We're going to loosen things up a little bit, and part of that was getting off camera. Plus, we figure that you guys, if you're listening at home, if you're on the web, if you're on iTunes listening to us, wherever you are, chances are you're not, you're probably not watching us talk. I mean, watching us talk is kind of boring, mm-hmm. I would say. So you probably maybe press play and maybe open up a new browser window and start surfing the web and maybe listen to us in the background. So we figure, why not? Why not just go and be audio only?
Well, we like it. Listen to us. It's cool.
What's great is that me and DJ can dress down
no doubt
a little bit, and John Michaels can just continue to wear what he's been wearing on air. So you won't have to see the heat tattoo anymore. We're going to change it up. So look, you know, let us know if we made a big, dumb, stupid decision by not doing video and throwing video out. Let us know. Otherwise, we're going to continue going forward with audio. I think it's going to be a lot more fun with audio. We will lose video of the week, which
is a bummer.
It's a bummer, but maybe we'll come up with like audio clip of the week or something like that. We can do something fun with that. So don't fear. We have a ton to talk about as free agency started. First, let's talk about we did not have a podcast last week. We had some issues, some technical problems. Yep. So apologies for that. Maybe that episode will be coming out in the future at some point, but we do apologize for missing a week there, and we did have some people missing us, so we appreciate that, but we also apologize for not being around last week. And also, once again, you can find us on iTunes. Go to iTunes, search Falcon Cast, subscribe to our channel. You'll get it downloaded automatically every week. You can listen to us on the go, in your car, while you're running, working out, maybe mowing the lawn. You got a cold snack in your hand, listening to a little Falcon Cast.
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm with that.
Drive home, long drive home.
That's right. And if you like
long
us,
trips, whatever, man.
If you like us, rate us and review us, and tell people good things.
We got great voices too.
We do. I like my voice so much voice better really on well. Audio than I do on video. It sounds so much better. So, guys, look, little free agency.
Yep.
And let's get into this, because this is the most aggressive that I have seen the Falcons be during this time since I've been here.
I love it.
It has been a long time since the Falcons have been this aggressive with the number of players you brought in, the types of players, the caliber of players that you've brought in, and even to some extent the caliber of players that you've gone after that you've not gotten, I think is also worth noting here. So let's just go down the list here really quick. You get Alex Mack, Matt Schaub on the first day. You re-sign Adrian Claiborne. You bring in Derek Shelby, a defensive end from Miami. Mohamed Sanu, the wide receiver from Cincinnati. Sean Weatherspoon comes back to Atlanta. You quietly re-sign Bryce Harris, who was on the active roster last year, a tackle that they obviously see a lot of potential as far as depth goes. Charles Godfrey, the perennial Falcon Panther, comes back. And then you bring in three relative unknowns just the other day in Damian Parms, Aldrick Robinson, and DeMarcus Van Dyke. So, a lot of names there for us to go over, and I say we start right at the top with that guy named Alex Mack.
Big man Alex Mack.
Alex, you know what, when I think you brought up a good point saying, you know, there were a lot of guys that the Falcons went after, a lot of guys that we wanted to be a part of this franchise, and the number one position I thought that everybody talked about or really wanted to have was the interior line. Offensive line, D-line was a big talk of the offseason, especially for this organization. And when Alex Mack opted out of his contract with the Cleveland Browns, you said, oh, wow, we have a chance to go after and get arguably the top center in the game right now. And Alex Mack is that type of player. And going back to when you had Todd McClure here, you had that stability at the center position.
Right.
And for a while – you know, you've had guys who just fill in the spot for him. You know, Joe Holly was here for a while, but then he's gone, and then you have some other guys, persons who – a lot of guys who really weren't centers, but were playing center. And now you're bringing a guy like Alex Mack with his experience. He's going to take a lot of pressure off Matt. Having a center that understands how to get everybody involved up front is huge. Just speaking from a quarterback standpoint, to have that type of guy up front who can get you lined up, who can get the protection calls, get everybody in their spot where they need to be, and having a guy like him of his caliber who's coming in here, who's fired up to be here, is big. So I'm excited. I was very, very excited to be able to land Alex Mack. There's a lot of places he probably could have went or wanted to go. But the Falcons was the place that he felt was the best fit for him, which was awesome.
Good thing about him, he's going to make everyone on the front, these offensive line, better.
No doubt.
He's gonna make Chris Chester better. He's going to make Andy Levitre better. And obviously Jake Matthews. He's already...
There's a lot that you can really say about Alex Mack. I think you start with Falcons fans, you're a little bit spoiled by Todd McClure and the amount of years that he was around. I mean, it's true. So rare to see a player spend his entire career with one team, and Todd McClure was just that rock in the center that you could always depend on. When you lose that, you don't have that anymore, you see how the ripple effect takes effect on the offensive line. And it's been a rough experiment the last couple of years with him gone.
It's going to be good to have a guy who has this much experience to be able to lock down the middle of your offensive line. When you have a guy who's played in the amount of games he played in 101 career games and starts, it just gives you that aura up front that, all right, this guy knows what he's doing. He knows how to get the guys next to him lined up. And when I say get these guys lined up, that means when the defense have different calls, they have different things going on up front, he can be the guy that can be the focal point that gets everybody says, all right, listen, this is what we're going to do. You see, most time guys come to the line, they're pointing out people. They're trying to figure out who's going to block who. They got blitzes coming from everywhere. When you have a center who can really understand exactly what a defense is trying to do to you, he can get everybody on the same page right now. And now it takes more pressure. It takes the pressure off Matt so that he can just sit back there. And now all he has to do is worry about the coverage. All he has to worry about is where's my first or second read, not worrying about, okay, is the line, do they know they can pick up this blitz or whatever it may be. So having a guy like Alex come in here and stabilize that middle spot for everybody up front, like you talked about, Bose, is going to do wonders for this offense already.
What I love about this is that you invest in a guy who's still relatively young, got a lot of years ahead of him in the league, 3 Pro Bowls, 101 career games and starts, and he's played under Kyle Shanahan's system. In talking to him and following him around when he was here in Flowery Branch shortly after signing, the biggest impression that I got from him, it wasn't his size. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Wasn't his size. It was how smart this guy is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Falcons fans, when you hear from him, when you get a chance to listen to maybe some media sessions with him, pay attention to how well-spoken he is and how well he understands this offense, because for a center, everybody talks about the quarterback being the position on the offense, but the center is a very cerebral position as well when it comes to reading and recognizing and all those different things. So to have a guy like that who's got the experience, got the pedigree, got 3 Pro Bowls under his belt, is smart as a whip, you made a great investment in a guy who's going to be here through what you hope is Matt Ryan's prime.
And in the past few years, you've always invested in the skill guys. So all the big money's been outside, your quarterback, receiver, whatever it may be. And now you get in the trenches where things really matter, where you watch the Super Bowl, you watch the teams that are in the playoffs, they're doing it with great O-line and D-line playing. You got a guy who you, like you said, invested in for the long run. It's only going to help you better. He's athletic. He can move. He uses his hands really well. You can see him pulling and getting up on linebackers, getting to the next level. Things like that are what makes your offensive line that much better. And you talk about it being a cerebral guy. Not just in the pass game with run protections and all that. It's in the run game as well. We know we want to run the football. You got a great running back in Devontae Freeman. So you're going to run the football. Getting everybody in their right spots in their right time, it is also big too in the run game.
One interesting thing I see on these notes. Yeah, you said he played under Kyle Shanahan. I didn't know it was only 5 games though.
That was it.
Because when he toured the stadium, I had him in my ear the whole time. We had him mic'd up. And he could say nothing but great things about Kyle Shanahan and how transparent he was and how great of a leader he was. So it's interesting to see. Yeah, he was there for a whole season, but he was only played 5 games under him. So that's
well. The good thing is he's been in that system. Even if you're not playing, you don't play. You're still sitting in on meetings. You're still, maybe go and watch practice. So he knows this system, whether he played in it or when he got hurt. So that's the good thing about it is he'll have some familiarity with it when he gets there.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I just love this movie. Just from top to bottom, I think it's one of those things where
it's a movie you had to have.
It's
man.
A movie you had to have.
Yeah.
Was it the sexiest move of the day? No.
No.
But it was sexy for me. It was sexy for me. I thought it was pretty sexy.
I mean, just think about it. If it didn't happen, it would be an uproar in this city because right. you've been talking about you need a guy like that.
Yep.
And now you got him. So he's not a skilled guy. He's not, you know, your guy who's going to catch touchdowns, but he's going to be a guy who can really solidify and keep your $100 million quarterback upright.
Right. And you talk about – I talked earlier about the ripple effect when you take out a Todd McClure. When you put in an Alex Mack, you have that same ripple effect. Mm-hmm. So now you've got Alex Mack at your center position. You've got Andy Levitre to your left, and you've got Jake Matthews, who's only going to continue to get better. On the right side, now maybe you see Mike Person who you originally signed to be a guard. And – got through parts of camp and decided maybe you didn't like Joe Hawley as much. And, oh, gosh, what are we going to do at the center position? Let's see if Mike Person can snap the ball. Okay, he can snap it better than some of the other guys. He's going to be our starting center.
Mm-hmm.
So now he goes back to his natural position potentially,
yeah.
Which was the reason you signed him in the first place. And maybe he shines at that spot.
Yeah.
And then you've got Ryan Schrader, who was one of the top five tackles in the league on the right side. So you talk about that ripple effect and how things can change one move.
That ripple effect goes in another positive way as well. You just talked about how Person can play center. He played center last year, and now he's going to go back to guard. Well, that gives you more depth. It gives you more options in case something does happen. You got a guy who understands both positions. So now he's playing guard, but he knows exactly what the center's thinking. He knows exactly what they want to do from guard to center, getting up on linebackers, all that kind of stuff. So it's only going to help him get better. And like you said, he could completely take off right now because he doesn't have to worry about snapping the ball and then going to get everybody else lined up. So now he has the ability to know exactly what's going on to the guy next to him. But also, he's back at a position where he probably feels more comfortable.
Is the center quarterback relationship overrated or underrated?
No, I think it's underrated. I think people don't understand how important it is for those guys to not only be friends but be on the same page at all times. Because there's so many things that go on throughout a game with the quarterback and center. And I tell people all the time. I still talk to my centers that I always play with in high school, college, pro, whatever it is. Because those guys are the guys who are ultimately going to be the protectors of you and everybody around you because they get everybody in the right spots. And I always say, look, any guy's butt I got to touch over 150 times. Man, you are buddies, man. You know
that's,
what I mean?
That's kind of what I was getting at.
So that's my dude right there.
when you're touching a guy's butt for as many years as that, you better be pretty good friends.
No doubt.
So let's get
speaking of a guy who touched butts, Matt Schaub.
That's a great segue.
Both segments are on point with it.
This is why we gotta have you on a little bit more often. All right. So Matt Schaub comes back. A lot of fans kind of confused by this move. For me, this is simply a veteran backup. Mm-hmm. You went through last year with Sean Renfrey and Matt Sims on your team. I think you want to have a little bit more of a veteran presence just in case the worst should happen. Matt Schaub is still serviceable. He wanted to come back to Atlanta, so he's back. Certainly, you know, he didn't necessarily have the best of times with Baltimore when he played there most recently, but he brings something to the roster and that room, doesn't he?
Yeah, Schaub, he's going to bring that veteran presence. Like you said, he's been around for a while. I played 3 years with Schaub, my first couple years here in Atlanta. Really smart guy, really cerebral, understands everything they want to do. He understands Shanahan. I know the Falcons wanted to bring Schaub here last year, but he actually got picked up a little bit sooner than they wanted to. But it was Schaub is a great team player. He's gonna give a lot to Matt because he's been around a while. He's seen some things, and I'm sure Matt can bounce things off him as well. And if anything else, he's gonna bring a lot of competition to the backup spot. You know what you saw last year in preseason with Renfrey. You want to make sure he's continuing to get better. So bring another veteran in here who can push him, who can show him the ropes. And ultimately, it's going to make everybody around him better. And Schaub's one of those type of guys.
I just love that he brings a title of Most mats at quarterback in the league. We lead the league in most mats at quarterback.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yep. So we're with three. So that's the line has been set. 31 other NFL
teams. That's
going to
be so weird in practice.
Yeah, it's like, hey, meetings. Matt.
Hey, Matt. Yeah. And all of them going to be looking around.
Huh?
Who?
Huh? Yeah. Which one?
Shabby.
All right,
Shabby's my dude, man. I like Shabby, though.
Yeah, he's great. Speaking of great, I love this re-signing as Adrian Claiborne, bringing him back, man. You signed him last year on a one-year deal. He had been plagued by injuries in Tampa Bay before that. They decided to cut bait on him, bring him in for 1 year, and you say, hey, show us what you got.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yeah. I thought his energy, I thought his intensity throughout games, I thought was through the roof. And he was always around the ball. He was always in a position where he could make some plays, and that's all you can ask for. And obviously, the Falcons and the coaching staff were able to see the film more extensively than we were. So they probably saw some plays that we didn't see that showed, hey, this guy is really giving maximum effort. This guy is giving us everything we need. Like you say, it may not have all the big flashy numbers, doesn't have, you know, 8-9 sacks or whatever it may be. But sometimes it's about the pressures. It's all about the things you're doing that's disrupting an offense. And maybe it's, you know, you're taking on a double team and doing a good job of holding your spot and making sure Babineau comes off and makes the play. I mean, whatever it may be, he was probably that guy. And he was consistently enough was the reason why the Falcons wanted to bring him back and sign him to a new deal, which is awesome. And I'm glad he's back in the fold.
Bosak?
Adrian Claiborne, I could take it from a different perspective, the media perspective. He is a great guy to be around. He's always willing to go on camera for us. If we had a witty question on Fridays, we would ask him, would you rather fight a horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
He would That's always good. You got to have those guys in the locker room.
He would answer the question.
Is he kind of like soft-spoken a little bit?
Very.
Very.
It's very.
That's why I said when I see him really doing interviews, he seems like that.
He's kind of intimidating.
But then
once you start talking to him, he's very friendly.
Right.
Great guy.
He's got the look on his face like, don't you dare talk
right,
to
right,
us.
Right, right.
But when you break that ice and say, hey, Adrian, what's going on? He's like, oh, hey, what's up?
Why don't you get in?
He'll laugh with you.
He'll laugh with you and everything. And he's a big fan of Scandal. So our,
who is it? Well, you're not?
I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
What are you guys? What's wrong with you guys?
How many seasons do they
watch
have?
A lot of
TV
shows.
It's like three seasons, man.
Our new guy on the
couch. Trevor, you've seen Scandal, right? Come on, Trev. That's what I'm talking about. Trev's seen Scandal. What?
I don't have time.
You ever heard of Olivia Pope? I mean, come on.
No, I've heard, but
Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington, I've heard, but
just looking at her, you don't want to go watch and see.
Oh no, I didn't. No,
I mean, you see her, I want to see what she's doing. That's kind of is beautiful.
You're right. Now.
You know what? If you can binge on House of Cards,
I was just
going to
say
binge on Scandal.
I binged on House of Cards.
I can't get past. Hold up, before you go, I can't get past. I'm on season three. I'm like on episode like 10 of House of Cards, and I can't get past, you know, the last couple episodes to get to season four.
Big mistake, my friend.
It's kind of slow right now for me.
Big mistake.
So should I just finish it out and then get to season four?
Grind it out.
Yeah.
Grind it
season
out.
Season four is off the chain?
The end of season three really sets up season four.
Okay.
And then you're like, whoa, here we go. So
binge on Scandal.
Okay. I will.
AC, Claiborne, my man likes Scandal. Trevor is backing me. Come on, that's three guys who are backing Scandal. You guys got to get on the train.
I'm not arguing. I just got to find time. Shock. I've got to find time.
I got you.
All right.
Got you.
These tweets aren't going to send themselves. All right. So we're going to go to the guy now that I think may be the steal of free agency.
I love this.
I am going to be so bold as to say
great
that.
Great sign.
Stepping
out on
love
the line.
Derek Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
I love Derek Shelby.
Sky's the limit for him.
Yeah. So much potential. You're getting him when he's young. Sat behind Cameron Wake and Olivier Vernon, and was the Miami expected him to replace Cam Wake?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Cam Newton? I think I said Cam Newton.
Oh, you said Cam Wake. Said,
yeah,
Wake.
There's too many Camerons now. So
too many Max and too many Cam.
Yeah, that's it. So they expected him. That, you know, they were going to get a deal done with him. He was going to replace Cameron Wake. All was going to be well, and that didn't happen because we took him.
No doubt.
I want to set this up for you guys. So he played in 8 games last year, recorded 25 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 29 QB hurries in those 8 games. He moved the quarterback off the spot 29 times during those games. That is just gigantic. And of course, you can argue, okay, you've got Vernon on the other side. You've got some players there on defense. But here's the thing. You bring him into an Atlanta system that has some really good defensive talent that should be reaching its potential this year. Mm-hmm. And I just think this is a guy that could blow up.
I am so eager to watch this dude play.
Yeah.
I mean, when you mentioned they wanted him to replace Wake and Vernon, that tells you right there this guy is somebody who's going to be reckoned with. And you watch him on film. I've seen him on tape, and he has the burst. He has the speed up field. And the last stat was 29 QB hurries. That's what you look for.
Yeah.
You're not going to always get sacks. QBs in this league, they feel pressure. They know how to move. They know how to get away. That's going to happen. You're going to get sacks all the time. But if you can move a QB, you can throw off the timing at all, that goes just as it's just as big as a sack sometimes. And having him come on here, there's going to be a lot of expectations from him because of what was expected to happen once those guys left from Miami. But I'm looking forward to seeing this guy's ability. I think he has a lot of ability, and I think he's going to have a lot to prove, and I think he's going to be the guy that a lot of people are going to say, where did he come from?
And in Dan Quinn's system, he doesn't have to think. He just has to go, hey.
Line up and go, baby.
Hey, Derek, just go attack the quarterback.
One job. You got
quarterback,
one job.
Quarterback, hurry. Make him hurry up.
And let me tell you something about this guy's size. So his triceps are – it would take 3 Bosek arms to make up one one of his. This guy
big,
is
monster,
strong.
Man.
He's. It's like you look at him and you're like, you don't even need a move, dude.
Right.
You just need a bull rush, and that's it. And you could survive off a bull rush. I don't want to over talk him, but gosh, I really, really love that sign.
I think people are going to be really, really surprised by his athleticism.
Yeah.
You talk about how big he is, but to be that big, he's so athletic.
He is.
He can move. He's going to force teams to say, okay, where's Shelby at?
And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. He's a dog.
I like that.
He's not a Georgia Bulldog.
But he's a
but
dog.
But he's a dog.
He's not a cat.
He's a go-getter.
He's not a cat.
He's a dog.
He's a dog. He's going to go after you.
You need some of those dudes on your team, man.
Yep.
You need some dogs like that when it's second, third, or fourth quarter. Guys are going to get after people who may be a little dirty at times. You need that.
He's
you
gonna
need
get
those
after.
Guys. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do and looking forward to that dog.
That dog. And I can't wait to see what happens on the other side, too, if he's opening up things for a guy like Vic Beasley or Adrian Claiborne shifts inside, able to open things up for him. Because if you do get that hurry, you're moving the quarterback off the spot. Hopefully you're moving him right into your teammate. So I really love this signing, guys, and this is one of the ones where I'm going to be really looking at hard as the season gets started. In 2016. Now, this guy, Mohamed Sanu, is the most polarizing free agent I have seen in my entire life. I swear. Falcons Twitter, you guys are a mess. Get get it together.
Sanu canoe.
They're half of Falcons Twitter loves the move.
Yeah.
Half despises it. I'm guessing, and guys, you got to take the emotion out of it. I am guessing that the hatred comes from the idea that you're bringing this guy in to replace Roddy White. Okay? You're not going to replace Roddy White. You're never going to replace Roddy White in Falcons history. Roddy is going to be a part of this team for a very, very long time to come. This is just a guy the coaching staff wanted to bring in, felt that they could get a lot out of him. He's still young. He's big. He's going to take some pressure off of Julio Jones, but he's also a big old target that you can throw to when teams decide to triple.
And he's fast. Yeah. I watched his 2015 highlights. He doesn't have many, but he is fast.
He's fast, but a lot of people are going to tell you he's slow.
Really?
And it's just I don't see it.
There's a difference. There's
I don't know that he can stretch the field.
Yeah.
Maybe there's the difference
maybe
there.
Maybe it's the lankiness, it looks like. Maybe
yeah.
It's a misconception there.
It's a little deceptive a little
deceptive,
bit.
Yeah.
Some guys have what's called the track speed.
Yeah.
And some guys have, like, football speed. Who can sometimes look like they're never running fast, but they're running away from everybody. I think the most important thing, Jay, that you mentioned when you talked about or talking about Sanu is don't put him into the field or the bubble as Roddy White's replacement. And I think that's what everybody looked at and says, okay, yeah, whoever the next receiver is, he has to be of the same caliber or the same potential as Roddy. That's not what they're doing. That's not when they went into free agency. It's not about, okay, let's replace a guy of Roddy's stature in the same way that he plays.
Right.
That's not what you're doing.
No.
Right now, you're finding a guy who can fit your system, a guy who you know can be credible on the other side of Julio, who can make some plays for you. You're not expecting him to come in here and be Julio. You're not expecting him to come in here to be Roddy. You want him to come in here and be Mohamed Sanu and make plays for you, stretch the field when need to, be consistent, catch the football. We saw last year when they brought in Leonard Hankerson, you know, he had times where he was good. He had times where he was catching the football, being that third down guy for you. And then there were times where he was dropping footballs. And that's why ultimately they got him out of here, because he wasn't consistent.
Right.
They want a guy who can come in here and be consistent. And I think Mohamed Sanu can be that guy. And in Cincinnati, he was sometimes the third or fourth guy, but that's because they had so many different guys.
His stats aren't going to blow you away, but you've got to look past that, and you've got to look at what type of player he is. You want a complimentary wide receiver to Julio Jones who can maybe do a few things.
I think he just needs opportunity.
But it's a huge mistake, and I think it's so unfair to him to throw him in Roddy White's shadow and say, you could have kept Roddy White for less money, and you might have gotten more production out of him than you might Sanu. I think that's completely unfair to Sanu. Give the guy a chance. He was highly coveted. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of teams that were after him, mm-hmm. and we got him in the building, and we made sure that he didn't leave,
yeah,
because he was going to sign elsewhere if he got out of the building. So ink got dry on the paper. He's here. He's going to be an interesting guy to watch. I know everybody wants to talk about the fact that he can throw the football too. Yeah. And you may, I don't know. You
running
may
the wildcat. He might entertain us with some plays if we decide to use him like that and get creative.
He might.
I feel like him and Shelby are guys who feel like they have a little chip on their shoulder. Maybe Sanu feels like, okay, maybe this is my time to prove something. Everybody thinks I'm this guy or that guy. But here's an opportunity for me to come in here and catch a lot of footballs, mm-hmm. and make some plays. Right. And I think that's going to be big for him.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing is the effect that it's going to have on a guy like Justin Hardy underneath.
Oh, yeah.
I love the potential of Justin
that
Hardy
could be
in 2016.
Breakout guy, really.
I really do. You let him own that slot position. I think he could do some really big things. He's already proven that he can make some of those kind of crazy catches that you know you don't expect the guy, you know, a rookie wide receiver to make. I love his speed, but I think that you know you look towards the draft, you look ahead, and because free agency is far from over.
Yeah.
I think you can make the argument that the Falcons still need to add like that speedster who can stretch the field at wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think you can make that argument.
You need that, and I think that's why a lot of people are really excited when the time came around. Everybody thought we was going to get Travis Benjamin and all that because he was that speedster who can stretch the field. There are plenty of guys out there who can still do that, and I think the Falcons, with time, that's still going to happen. And you still got free agency. You still got draft where you can go, you know, fourth, fifth round and find guys like that, or free agency, whatever. We've seen it in multiple ways where you can find that guy who can be it for you. You just talked about Hardy, who I think, man, I think he's going to explode this season, yeah, with his play. And he's already got the confidence from the staff. After his rookie year, they said, we are really excited about Justin Hardy. So add another piece to that with Sanu, with Julio. It's going to be, I think, an offensive system with the receivers that are going to be out to prove a lot to people.
I agree. So last guy I want to talk about individually here and like really kind of break down is Sean Weatherspoon and bringing him back. I mean, you draft him a couple of years ago, and, you know, the injury bug just got the best of him. He was a fan favorite when he was here. So many people are thrilled that he's back. I am one of those people.
D-block. I've seen all the D-block.
Now, we don't know what the future D-block is.
Oh, okay. I just saw some throwbacks. That's all I'm saying.
We haven't gotten into those discussions yet. But
he said if the defense is right, if the guys are right, if we all gel, it's got to come natural.
It's got to come natural. We'll get into negotiations here in a little while. But let's let them
get in the building and marinate a little bit,
let
right?
Let things settle just a little bit before we go down that road. Because, it, you know, in all seriousness, Sean Weatherspoon has a lot to prove.
No doubt.
You know, you are a first-round draft pick with high expectations. You got terrible, terrible luck when it comes to injuries. Gosh, you get injured in rehab and on your way back, and what happens is you find out that the team's just going to cut bait with you. Yeah. And Arizona took a chance on him on a one-year deal and made him a reserve. Yeah. And played 14 games there, and I think only had something like 11 tackles.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not the Sean Weatherspoon that he wants to be. That's not the Sean Weatherspoon that you saw at Mizzou. So he's coming into this year. He's back with the team that he started with a lot to prove.
That's it right there. That's exactly what I was going to mention is not often you get a second chance to come back to the place that drafted you and prove something, not just to them, but to yourself, to the league. And like you mentioned, what he did in Arizona wasn't something to brag home about. Mm-hmm. So now he's getting another chance to come back to the place where he was drafted to show, hey, look, you didn't make a mistake when you drafted me. And he's coming into a linebacker unit that's going to need his type of athleticism. It's going to need his type of energy. You talk about the D-block. That's part of the personality
sure.
that he brings to his game. And everybody remembers how he, you know, when he makes a play and everything he does, that's the spoon that you remember. That's the type of a player that he is. And when he's flying around, running around, having a good time, he can be one of the, you know, top players on the field at the time. So I'm looking forward to seeing Spoon come back and get back into the swing of the old Spoon he was when he first got here the first couple of years before the injury bug started to get him.
You know, go ahead, Bo.
I mean, that's just another guy. With Sanu, I said he might entertain the fans. Spoon, you already know he's going to entertain the fans.
Yeah.
So it's another guy who's just going to entertain the fans. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's going to be so fun to watch in the 2016 season.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, I saw Sean when he was here on his visit, and he looks as in shape as he's ever been. Trim, muscular, looking very, very healthy right now. The other thing is that you're talking about a very different Sean Weatherspoon in mm-hmm. some cases. He's got a fiance. I met his little baby. Mm-hmm. He's a daddy now. So, you know, there's a lot in his
perspective,
life
man. Yeah.
That, you know, he's fighting for. And so a lot of people have asked, and this is going to be the question for a long time until we get into camp and start kind of seeing how things shake out, is he a guy who's going to be a role player for you, or is he going to be a guy who's going to compete for a starting job? I think he's fighting for a starting position.
No doubt
I really
it.
Do.
Yeah, and I think that's the only way he's going to look at it. That's the only way he's going to visualize playing here now is I want to prove that I can be the every down back. I mean, I want to be there every down linebacker for this team. And I don't think he wants to be a positional or just specialist type of player. He wants to come in here and contribute on every single down. And that's going to be big for him. Like you said, you mentioned his fiance and his little baby. I mean, there are different things that you play for now. There's different things that make you look at the game differently. And not to say he wasn't giving it as much, but he's probably going to give it just a little bit more now because you got so many people depending on you.
Yeah. All right, so a couple of things here. I don't want to get bogged down in going through all these guys, but, you know, I like the addition of Bryce Harris again. He's just a depth guy that I think, you know, if his number is called upon, I think he could do a really good job. Charles Godfrey really came on at the end of last season. Earned enough respect from the coaching staff to play the final two games and played really yep. well in them. Veteran presence in the backfield, the defensive backfield, you got to like that.
Mm-hmm.
Three relatively unknown guys that you know get brought in. Damian Parmes was with the team during training camp last year and was released before even the first round of cuts. But then Aldrick Robinson and DeMarcus Van Dyke are really, really interesting guys because they both have track and field backgrounds. Aldrick Robinson ran a 4.35 40 at the combine.
Good gracious.
Van Dyke ran a 4.28 at the combine and, of course, ended up in Oakland. Oakland took the speedy guys. So, look, Dan Quinn has said nothing but speed, 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 speed this offseason, and he's backing it up now with moves. And so, for me, and one of the questions that we'll discuss here is when we might as well talk about it now that we've brought these guys up, is you've got 90 spots that you got to fill on a roster, right? So, not every move that you make in free agency is going to blow the doors off the place, right? You're going to sign some guys that you're like, I don't really know anything about this guy. Okay, here's three guys that didn't play in the league last year. Two of them are extremely fast. You bring them in and you say, you know what, guys? We have built an arena for competition. You come in here. You compete. Let's see what you got. Use the tools. Use the talent. Use everything that you've got, the speed, and show us what you can do, and you might have a shot here.
One guy that makes me when I look at these couple guys you just talked about, and it makes me realize that this is all about competition, and if you put yourself in a good position, you got a chance to be on this team, Nick Williams. I mean, look what he did last year.
Absolutely.
Undrafted, you know, a guy everybody looked at and said, oh, he won't make this team. And every time you watched film, every time you came to practice, every time you came to a preseason game, he was making a play.
Yeah.
And these guys can be in that same position. They can look at him and say, look, it doesn't matter where you came from, where you started. It's all about what you do once you're here.
Right.
And all these guys have the potential, have the ability. It's a reason why they're on a roster right now in the National Football League, because they feel they have the ability and they feel like they can do it. So I don't think they're going to come in here with that mind frame of, okay, I'm just a camp body. They can look at what Coach Quinn preaches on a daily basis, like you've mentioned, competition.
Right.
Let's come in here and compete and see what happens.
And I think you get a little bit more by adding a couple of guys who have league experience versus bringing in three extra undrafted guys when the draft is all said and done. You get three guys that are going to come in here. They know what they're fighting for. They know the league, the atmosphere. They know all of that. But you bring these guys in because – you're looking at Keith Armstrong and you're saying, okay, coach, let's see who you like here.
No doubt.
Because you take some speedsters like this, and where do you put them? You put them in
gunners.
You put them on the kickoff team. You put them at these positions where their
and say, go
speed
win.
In space
yeah.
is going to really come into play. And you can earn a spot on this roster with that.
And if they're fast, like we were talking about competition, they're going to make other guys who are already on the roster faster and want to be faster.
Oh, yeah.
So even if for some reason they don't make the team when we make the cuts back after training camp, they're hopefully with the competition, they'll make other people that are already on the team faster.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the competition that Coach Coy looks for. It doesn't matter what position you are. If you compete and you got a guy next to you who is on your heels and feels like, hey, you slip up one time, it's going to be mine. Guess what? That's going to make everybody around you better, and that's what Coach Quinn wants is not just having the starters be the guys who are at the top, but you got the second or third guys who are waiting and itching. If something happens, I can slide right in there and be ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it has been an amazing week, I guess. We're almost up to a week now that this has been going on since free agency started. Just an amazing start by the Falcons. I love all the additions. You lose a couple of guys, you know, like your Paul Solia goes off to Carolina. The Falcons released him. You know, you've got you made some other cuts, and I still don't think that they're done tinkering with this roster.
No
I think
way.
We could come back here next week and have a whole new crop of guys to be talking about. Out of everything that's happened here and transpired since the start of free agency, what's the most intriguing part of it for you guys?
You know what? I think the most intriguing part for me, everybody's going to look at the Alex Mack and say, oh, that's a pretty big signing, which it is. But we talked about it in detail already. And for me, it's Derek Shelby. I want to see what he's all about. I've seen him, you know, in games. And I just think he's going to bring so much to that defensive front. And he's definitely going to be the one that's going to be intriguing once it's all done and said and done that. All right, that was a great sign. Like you said, it may be the most underrated one right now, but when it's all said and done and we look at the season next year and say, all right, who was the guys who really showed up for us? I think he's going to be one of those guys that you say, all right, I'm so glad we signed him back in March.
Most intriguing to me is the Mohamed Sanu signing. Like we said, a lot of fans are disappointed. We think that fans think he has to fill the void of Roddy White leaving. But I think the Atlanta Falcons wide receivers in 2016 are going to be – they're younger, they're faster, and I think Mohamed Sanu brings in a different dimension from what we're used to seeing on the field. So I think that's the most intriguing to me.
It also really forces Julio Jones into that leadership spot.
Yes.
doesn't it?
Yeah. No,
and so, also the new wide receivers coach.
Yeah, Raheem Morris.
Whole new classroom in that room.
He's going to get to build it the way he wants, though. I mean, you're going to have a lot of guys coming in here first time playing or first time in this system, and he's going to get a chance to mold them and get them to the position he wants to.
He is. I'll just add in here, I agree with you, Shock, on this one. Derek Shelby's the most intriguing for me. Of course, in how he impacts his own play, but how he impacts other guys on the team. He might be the kind of guy who's not going to get 10, 11, 12, 13 sacks. He might get 8. But he also might help somebody else get 5 or get 6.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, spread him out a little
29
bit.
29 QB hurries.
I love it. I love that guy.
That's a great stat right there.
I cannot talk about that guy enough. Love him. All right, so let's get to Break with Bosek. That will stay. Break with Bosek will stay.
All right.
And so you've got a –
your segment still paid for a Bosek.
Yeah. You've got a question here for us, Bo. Let's go.
All right, so we got an empty seat on this couch right next to us.
Yes,
we do. If you could have anyone join us on this podcast, who would you want it to be and why?
Is this like in the entire world?
It could be the entire world. It could be within the NFL. It could be anyone, anybody.
Oh, man.
Could be a fictional character if you wanted to.
Oh, boy.
Anyone.
That's a good question.
Do they have to talk? We can talk about anything.
We would talk Falcon football. We would have their perspective on Falcon football.
I couldn't bring Sylvester Stallone in here. He couldn't talk about Falcon football, bro.
I mean, you might be able to. You don't know that.
Oh, man, let me think about that for a second. You got somebody in mind?
No. No. If I could have anybody on the podcast join us, I mean, you know, I would probably have to go with like one of my musicians. My favorite musicians, maybe a Corey Taylor or someone like that.
I like that. So I'd bring in somebody like T.I., man.
That would be fun.
Talk about ATL.
I've always loved the mixture of sports and music because the two just go so well together. I mean, you guys in the video world here, Bosek and our guy on the couch, Trevor, there, you know, you guys are constantly putting sports together with music. And just how the impact that music can have on sports and how an athlete plays and all that. It's always been interesting to me.
One guy who I think was just thinking about different people, I would love to have Coach Budenholzer come here and talk because he's in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see his perspective from a coaching standpoint of what he thinks of not just football, but what he thinks about Coach Quinn and how he's, you know, coaching and things like that. That'd be an interesting take to see how he looks at, you know, a whole different sport on another level. You
absolutely
know, that'd be pretty cool.
I like that too. The crossover with different sports. If I'm going fictional character, I'm going probably Homer Simpson or Peter Griffin.
Homer,
that'd be entertaining for sure.
Homer, you might be bringing Beavis in.
Beavis and Butthead, we could definitely do that.
I can envision Homer knocking over the microphone like you DJ. Don't.
So you call him Homer,
right?
You calling me Homer.
We got called a Homer on Twitter that one time. So,
all right, here's mine. Mine's a little more realistic.
Okay.
Falcons coach, head coach Dan Quinn.
Wow.
Call it the Falquincast. I've been wanting to do it since day one.
You've already got it marketed and everything.
Oh, yeah, Falquincast.
It's already hashtagged and ready to go.
Just to hear his perspective on everything.
You think he'd come in here and chop it up with us?
I would hope he would.
That would be
great. Give us 5-10 minutes, man. That would be cool, man.
Yeah, 5-10 minutes.
That's all we need. Yeah. That's all we need. We get him a little break with Bosek.
There
you go. You could serve him up one of your questions. Would you rather have French fries for fingers or hot dogs for eyes?
Hot dogs for eyes.
I don't know.
That'd be funny. That would be good if you had a...
All right, so we've talked a ton of free agency, but the draft is coming up.
That's happening.
It is happening. There's a lot going on, a lot of pro days, a lot of shifting around of these mock drafts that we all pay so much attention to.
Which is it mock what, about 8.0 right now?
Yeah, actually, I think we're at 4. Officially, we're at like 4.0.
4.0.
Really, okay. We've been about 8.0. But we've seen so many of these guys who start out the year on these mock drafts way up high, and then at this point they start to plunge and vice versa. Let's talk in these final moments about some of these guys who could be potential movers and shakers here in the first round and really shake things up. And I'm going to start with one of your guys, and I'm going to say Leonard Floyd could really shake up the first round.
He's a dynamic player. I mean, his athleticism, and it's he hasn't even, I don't think, fully grown into the size of his body it's going to be. And he's one of those hybrid guys right now. He's in between. He can be a rusher. He can cover in space. He's long. I mean, he could be one of those guys, like you mentioned, can shake up a draft, can shake up a team, and could easily move from, you know, 8 all the way up to freaking 25. He could be anywhere in there and find a spot with anybody and make a play. But that's a very interesting guy right there, you know, for a lot of people.
A month ago, if you looked at the mock drafts, you would have seen him between the 25 to 32 range, maybe even on the cusp of the second round. After the combine, he had his pro day this week. He's starting to climb. Mm-hmm. You see some of these guys that start to climb, that means you got some guys that are starting to fall a little bit. Now, you know, I think the really interesting thing is going to be, where do the quarterbacks go? I think that always determines a lot in the first round.
They're gonna go high.
They're gonna go high.
QB, that's what happens.
But with Tennessee sitting up at top, being like, well, you know, do we need a tackle? We could drop back. Somebody needs a quarterback. We know Cleveland at number 2 is looking at quarterback.
Yeah.
If you want a quarterback and you want to come up to the number 1 overall spot, come and get it. You're gonna pay for it.
I don't think
you better be sure.
I don't think they feel there's a QB right now that's worthy of the number 1.
I wouldn't make that move. Yeah. But you know, you never know, and that could change the entire dynamic of the draft. One of the things that just has been eating at me since the combine is just the situation with Jalen Smith, the extremely talented linebacker out of Notre Dame. I mean, gosh, he was expected to be he could have been a top 5 pick when all was said and done. I mean, this was a special athlete. And there's still fans who are saying, you know, look, do you take him in the second round? Do you take him, you know, do you take a flyer on him in the second round? I mean, this is a guy who you're talking about ligament damage. You're talking about nerve damage.
Have they already said, like, he's going to be out for the year possibly?
They say, so most doctors after the combine, so at the combine, all 32 teams, your doctors are pulling all up on them, yeah. Right? So, by gosh, by the end of that, you got to be so sore. All right. So you've got the majority of those doctors saying, we don't know that he can play in 2016. You have another contingent of doctors who say, we don't know if he can ever play.
Oh, wow.
And so that's one of those things where you're like, okay, if you're a team that's maybe got some luxury picks,
man,
do you maybe, like a Marcus Lattimore situation, do you take him and hope that he ends up recovering to the point where he becomes the special kind of player that he was destined to be.
That's a flippable coin.
I hate this situation. Yeah,
that's
for
a
him.
Flippable coin.
I
really
hate this.
It's
situation
bad because he's gotten to the point where he deserves to be getting paid for it now. I mean, he deserves to be a top 5 guy, and because of what happened in his injury, it's probably not going to happen.
I mean, that's the thing is you've got a lot of people talking about, well, maybe some team takes him in the second round. I think you're taking a risk if you take him in the 6th round. Yeah. I mean, I really do, just depending on what everybody's saying. You've got it. Like, if you're a team, you got to listen to your doctor. Whatever your doctor's saying about it, if your doctor's saying you can't play, you just got to take him off your board.
Yeah.
In the situation we're in on defense with linebackers,
yeah,
I don't know if we as the organization could afford it.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you're only going in with 5 picks.
Yeah.
Right? So you probably have to use one of those really late ones to.
But like you mentioned, though, this is a team that can afford to do that. You can afford to possibly play him or possibly not play him, then maybe you take that chance. But if you're like the Atlanta Falcons, you don't have that luxury, right? Because you need a guy who can come in here and contribute right now.
Like, if you're the New England Patriots who just traded Chandler Jones for like 100 picks, I mean, you have the luxury of being able to kind of take a couple of guys that might be a little bit chancy. But you know, seeing Jalen Smith kind of fall the way he has is been just heartbreaking to see that. But
feel bad for the kid, man.
You do. But there's, man, it is going to be interesting to see as we get close to the draft. We are almost a month away from the NFL draft. That first round is going to be crazy. You originally had everybody's like, oh, Shaq Lawson's going to the Falcons, going to the Falcons. Well, I mean, now in most mock drafts, they got him in the top 10.
Right.
He's not even, we're not even going to sniff him.
Right.
You know, so there's so many different things going on. So if the draft was held today.
It's the same thing with the guy from UCLA, Miles Jack.
Miles Jack.
Same thing. But now he's, everybody's saying he's impressive. He's done such a good job.
He's awesome.
His pro day, and now he's jumped up there even higher now. So
yeah.
It's interesting, man.
So if the draft was held today, who's the most realistic pick for the Falcons at number 17?
You know what I think, with what the Falcons want and what they need, we talked a lot about linebacker. I think Darren Lee is one of the guys who you look at and say, okay, this is a guy who could possibly be there for us. He's mm-hmm. the guy who we can know could come in here and probably from day one be a contributor. Just his athleticism alone. And his speed is what Coach Quinn is looking for. We talked about it already. He's looking for speed. He's looking for younger. He's looking for guys who can play all three downs, who can cover in space. And I think Darren Lee is that type of player. And I think he's been in that, you know, 15 to 20 range the entire time.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to change too much because you see his ceiling as far as where he's at right now. And I think he's in a good spot for the Falcons. And I know a lot of people up and down about him and, you know, who else could be there. But I like him in that spot.
The crop of linebackers that are available is truly amazing. I mean, there's a lot of talent there that's going to be available in the first round.
This kid out of Bama who's pretty good, too. So.
Yeah, exactly. Bosek, who you got?
110% agree with DJ on Darren Lee.
Yeah.
Ever since I heard him spoke at the combine with the media,
good guy.
He won me over. His presence, his everything about him, I love.
You think about all the would you rather questions.
All the would you rather questions. And
he'd be good for those.
Everything he was talking and saying was exactly what Dan Quinn preached, and it just lined up. But if I'm going to go with someone else, I'll go a little different path. I'll go with Deshaun Robinson from Alabama. Big. He's a dog. We talk about we need some dogs. And he's a
big
dog.
Deal, man.
So I wouldn't mind having him up front. That'd be great.
So you just pulled an okie doke on me because that's exactly where I was going with A'shaun Robinson. And I say that because I do think that there's going to be a big run on linebackers to the point where you're going to be sitting there with maybe a couple of guys that you're unsure of, maybe, or you're reaching for. The defensive line positions are extremely deep in this draft. You've got a lot of good talent at the defensive position, and you're in a situation where you need to create pass rush and run stoppage however you can, whether it's from linebacker, whether it's from the defensive line. You've got some really good defensive tackles on the team already, but you bring in an A'shaun, Jonathan Babineau is going to be 34, 35. Okay, so you got to figure he doesn't have a whole lot left in him. You got to have another guy come in here. A'shaun is a guy who's mature,
mm-hmm.
tough. He's a dog. He's a dog. And I look at him as like a mini Vince Wilfork because he looks exactly like Vince Wilfork to me.
He had a beard when he was seven.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if he's 20 years old, please go Google a picture of this kid because he's 20 years old, believe it or not.
Look like it.
No, exactly.
What do you guys think of Kevin Dodd out of Clemson?
You know, I like his ability.
Mm-hmm.
I worry that did his performance in the national championship
game,
was that the peak? Is that overshadowing everything else? Now, I didn't watch Clemson enough during the year to be able to formulate an opinion one way or another on him. He caught my attention during the NFL or the championship game.
He was top five in TFLs in the country.
Right.
So you didn't hear a lot about him until the next championship game, but he's a guy who's been around
and
doing it for a while because they had Shaq Lawson.
I was just going to say, exactly, and because you had some pretty good linebackers behind him too. He's one of those guys where you could very well end up taking him.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, it's going to be interesting.
I can't wait.
You never know, man.
Really going
you never know until that sheet is going up to the top. So
especially when you're at 17.
Yeah,
you gotta wait a long time.
A lot of things can happen. Well, this was a lot of fun.
I like this.
You think we wrap it up here?
I like this.
Thanks for inviting me to talk more football.
Appreciate
you coming through, Bo.
Thanks for stopping in, Bo.
Of course.
You know, next week maybe if John joins us,
maybe.
Maybe if he comes back, we can have you back on on the ones and twos over here.
Switcheroo.
What do you guys think? Audio only is pretty fun.
Audio right? only, man. Yeah,
more relaxed.
You guys let us know, man. Everybody out there in Falcon Nation, let us know,
just
man.
Just trying something new.
Yeah.
Trying something new. Although we don't have anything to throw paper at, but
we do.
So I don't really know how to close out the show.
We do have something we can throw at.
We can throw paper at.
That guy! Right Bosek. Oh! Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of the Falcon Cast, wherever you are listening to us. And we will be back next week with much more on the Atlanta Falcons.